Hello there, and welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast. The boys are coming to you from their hidden camp, set deep in the Florida woods on the banks of the mystic Suwannee River. So let's take a moment and hear from the boys of old Florida.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Palm and Pine Podcast. We are grateful to be back here with y'all again today, and I am, as usual, right here beside the esteemed Professor Barlow. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Steaming.
Yes, esteemed, yeah.
Hot
and steamy.
And steaming, yes.
Yeah, today, well, it was, yeah. I tell you what, Dad always used to say if we could get past Valentine's, we'd be by, past the cold weather, but
not always.
We got another dose this morning, about 27, 26.
Yeah, I'm down there, but not a heavy frost because it's super, super dry, as usual this time of year.
Can't even make a frost. It's so dry, like a desert out there, like a desert.
Yeah. So hopefully you got your potatoes planted, but they're not up yet, so it's just perfect, you know.
I tell you what. I tell you, Doug, I was wanting to mention, you know, we lost one of our sponsors, podcast sponsors.
Been a tough month or two, I tell y'all.
Now they have some legal difficulties. Now that don't involve Palm and Pine.
We are not affiliated with them in any way.
But they having some legal difficulties. Now, what my point is we are open to opportunities for sponsorship.
I should say so.
particularly if you don't foresee legal battles in your future, we'd love to talk to you. So. But I tell you, Douglas, something I was going to ask you, and I write a little blog, and I don't think anybody reads it, but it's on Substack,
right?
And I was doing some research, as we tend to do,
right?
And I was researching ancestry for not just myself, but just people in the South.
Okay.
And a big part of our heritage is Scottish. And some people think they're Irish, but they're really not, because the lowland Scottish people moved into a place called Ulster, Ireland, Northern Ireland, and then eventually came to the United States in the 1700s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this Scottish influence is in us, mm-hmm. And in our heritage, and mm-hmm. in our culture. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's really interesting, you know, reading about all that, seeing how that is still present today. For example, any feeling you have of distrust mm-hmm. with the government mm-hmm. is likely from that heritage. You see, they had been done wrong over and over by the King of England.
Okay.
And so they had a strong distrust for government. This was for centuries, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so today, you know, anything with the government, I'm distrustful other than them sending me a check or something. So anyway, I wrote a blog about this.
Oh, okay.
But it got me to thinking, and I think some folks from Florida, some people that grew up like we did are going to recognize this. But do you remember a store called Scotty's?
Yes, I remember it well. It was the hardware store back in the day, I guess in the 60s and 70s. You know, there was no Home Depot. There was no Lowe's. You went to Scotty's.
That was kind of the first Home Depot.
Right.
And it was about the size of a Home Depot.
It was big.
And, you know, in the 60s and 70s, that was the big hardware store.
Right.
Started in Florida.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Yeah,
okay.
Florida store. Now, I think they had... By the time they got kind of going, they had put a few stores in South Georgia, but predominantly Florida. And they made it all the way to about the early 2000s.
Right, and it had a picture of like a Scottish guy. And he looked like Willie from The Simpsons.
Yeah. That's it. So anyway, that just kind of reminded me of that, of the old Scottish store. And I remember going there with Dad sometimes.
But I've never been inclined to want to wear a kilt, Steve.
No. Now, that's kind of the Highlanders of
Scotland. Just one little town I've heard, really.
Yeah, the Highland area. But our ancestors primarily came from what they call the borderlands.
All right.
Basically, northern England mm-hmm. and southern Scotland. Okay, and it was a constant warfare.
Okay.
So
fussing and fighting.
Yeah. And so you know how you and I are subject to get into feuds with people, right? You got feuds going. That's just in our nature.
I've seen worse than us.
Yeah, worse than us. We are actually pretty civil. But also, we tend to own a lot of firearms. We do a lot of shooting. All of that is because we our ancestry came from those borderlands. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a little anecdote. I was crossing the border into Canada on official Department of State travel, right? I even had a Department of State passport.
Okay.
And the young border guard there, Canadian, she questioned me, and she's like, where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from Florida. And she was astonished. She was shocked. And she's like, oh, you're one of those. That's what she said. And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I guess so. And she said, how many guns do you own? Right?
Yeah. Huh.
And that kind of put me in a little predicament right there. Because, you know, I've never really counted them all, right? So I'm kind of there, you know, I count up to 10 with my fingers, then I'm counting on my toes.
Right.
Next thing I know, I told the little girl, I said, you know, I think maybe around 37 if we don't count hand irons, you know, the handguns. But again, that's part.
That doesn't count your blow dart, too.
Yeah. The blow darts and spears.
That doesn't count your heart attack gun.
Right. So anyway, all this goes back to that heritage, that Scottish heritage of them being in those borderlands, constant battle. And of course, who makes up most of the armed forces? Southerners.
Yeah, right.
Anytime there's a war, who comes to, you know, the Tennessee Volunteers?
A lot of it is rural
Southerners. And so if you're interested in that thing, you might go take a look at my blog. I think
I would enjoy that. You know, I like things that aren't completely frivolous, but I don't know if other folks
unlike this podcast.
But, you know, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, England learned from our experience they had with us not to completely let go of them. And you still see it today. You know, they turned them into sissies.
Right. They get arrested for posting a meme on Twitter.
Yeah, it's amazing. Pastor Coyne, which we're hoping to have back, hasn't been arrested for preaching the Bible up there.
We're going to get him back.
Watch out.
We're in talks with Pastor Coyne. Going to get him back on the show. Right. You know,
he's a big star because I saw him on Maria Z.
He's been on big shows. We kind of kicked him off.
We blasted him off into media space.
So he's grateful and told me he'd love to come back.
Talking about preachers, you know, I remember Preacher Davis at Mount Indian Primitive Baptist Church, and Uncle Russell told me a number of stories that he related to Uncle Russell, and one he told him. You might remember they had that hunting camp down in Collier County they would go down to.
Right.
And they'd take Preacher Davis with them.
Down in the Fackahatchee Strand. That's some real woods down there, boys.
Right. And so two of them and Preacher Davis went down there on a hunting trip. So they're just two ordinary men. And Preacher Davis, they went on a hunting trip. And they all three had guns.
Oh, yeah.
And the story goes, you know, they were walking around and a buck popped up and surprised all three of them. So they all three let him have it. Boom, 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 boom.
Right. Unloaded on him.
Absolutely. The old buck dropped dead, you know. And they went up and looked at it and they were very curious as to who killed the deer.
Because
it was only hit by one bullet and they could not figure it out.
Hmm.
Well, lo and behold, a game warden come up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, they weren't doing anything illegal, you know. Okay. So the game warden got to talking to them, and they said, hey, Mr. Warden, while you're here, maybe you can help us figure out who shot the deer.
And the get an expert.
And the game warden said, well, one of you is a preacher. Well, how did you know? Wow. Yeah, absolutely. One of them is a preacher, you know. Yeah. So the game warden looked over that deer, and he said, well, the preacher killed this deer.
Huh. I'll be dang.
And they said, well, they said, well, how do you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, because the bullet went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah. There you go. Yep. Right in one ear and out the other. That's
one
a preacher.
In one ear and out the
that
other.
That was delivered by a preacher. I bet preachers feel like that a lot.
So the preacher had killed the deer. Yes, yeah, right. It was like our podcast. Went in one ear and out the other.
Going in one ear and out the other. And I think we're rolling right along. Nothing stops this train, Douglas. Yep, I think we're episode 76, somewhere like that. So closing in on that 100th episode, not too far away, rolling along pretty good. And We got a live, well, not a live, but we got a field trip coming up. We went down to Rainbow River.
Rainbow River.
And Douglas and I canoed the entire width and breadth of that Rainbow River. I'm talking about from the daggone boil where it comes out of the ground to where it hits right into the Withlacoochee River.
Right. And not so, for the faint of heart.
Nope. But
we done did it. It's very hard to unload where we unloaded the canoe at, the state park there.
If you go on a foray with Douglas and I, you are not going on a halfway just jaunt. We only know one way
but
to
I was
do
very
it.
Proud. Nobody lost their cool before the end of the day. I was very proud of the folks we brought with us.
We had a good crew. We had a good crew, yeah. Morale stayed high.
Nobody got lost, and yeah, you'll want to check that out when we post it.
I think they thought we were going for a short paddle.
Yes.
But it ended up about 6.5 miles.
Right.
But we're going to put that on.
Well worth it, though. Beautiful river.
We're going to put that on the Patreon, and we got some great video footage of that. Saw a tremendous diversity of bird life on that river.
Absolutely.
And it was a kind of a winter day, but not very crowded. And so anyway, I look forward to getting that edited. We'll get that up on the Patreon real soon. And probably we might be able to pull a podcast episode out of that as well.
Who knows? So,
Yeah. We got some other ideas brewing, other things coming. Like you say, Pastor Coyne, for sure getting him. So
yeah. We might do with them live stream.
Yeah.
Where you guys can send in them super chats.
Yeah. You can watch us live.
And we can make fun of you.
We're working on that. We should get that up going. Now, we wouldn't make fun of our viewers, Doug, our listeners. Well, I tell you what, I have got a news story, Doug, that's just going to blow you away.
Oh, I need that today.
You think you've seen everything and heard everything?
Well.
And, you know, this just happened a week ago, so very timely.
Huh.
But if you're ready.
I'm ready, yeah.
Let's roll right into that Palm and Pine newscast right now.
Breaking news right now.
Join us now for more on all of this. We'll have Press Secretary Kaylee Knight.
All right, Professor Barlow, what have you got out there in the great state of Florida that's
going
on?
Well, you know, we've had a tough month here at the Palm Pine Podcast. We had some family health problems in December, and, you know, you have a major construction project you're working on, which is pretty serious.
Always.
And this isn't our full-time job.
Right.
It's not even our part-time job.
It is not even a job.
We had some issues with our sponsor. They had some trouble. We are not affiliated with them in any way. We are not connected to them.
And no legal connection.
No, we're not part of that company. So we've been very concerned about our downloads, our podcast downloads. They have dipped just a wee little bit, and we've been kind of troubleshooting and brainstorming on how we might improve that. And we were thinking of the different things we might do. Well, we might get a young girl to come on and be vulgar and degrade herself, you know, but that's not us.
That's kind of a cheap, easy way. Right.
But seems to work, you know. And then we thought maybe gambling, maybe sports gambling. That seems to get the views and the downloads.
Get the Belita bag out.
Right. We could have like a Belita Florida sports gambling. But we were concerned about the legality of that.
Right.
But I have a news story today. An old boy, he figured out how to get the views and the downloads.
Is this about Texas Coin?
No.
Okay.
No. But this old boy, he had trouble with downloads, and he figured out how to do us. And we might could leverage something, you know, from what he's doing
so
here.
So he's kind of got a model we could look at.
This is a model we could look at.
Right.
And I'll just read the headline. The old boy does have a large Instagram fan base because of Florida man making Instagram video, ate bloody pig on Palm Beach sidewalk near Trump's Mar-a-Lago.
Dang.
Right.
Huh. So he videoed live stream right there.
Streaming. So how this played out, he was up there at they have a little clock tower there on the right on the coast there on Worth Avenue.
All right.
Apparently a very famous spot.
Right.
And the lady said he saw him and it looked like he just cut open a German Shepherd dog and commenced to eating it.
Right.
Commenced to eating it. So the law was called, the sheriff's deputy called Palm Beach.
Right.
And they found out that he'd split open a hog.
Man.
Yeah, a live hog and started eating it.
Dang!
And they did arrest him for criminal mischief and put him into jail. And then they got to talking to the old boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what the old boy did is he ate raw animals and filmed himself and put it on Instagram.
Okay.
In different places, in different raw animals, different raw critters.
Is that illegal?
I don't think it is, right. But they didn't arrest him for eating raw hog.
We eat animals every day.
He was arrested for criminal mischief, but they did have to clean up the guts and blood.
Oh, okay.
He didn't clean that up.
Oh.
He hauled butt in a white van, but guys, they got those license plate readers everywhere. Huh. So they done read his license plate.
Right.
And they called up with him pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
He kind of left a mess. But come to find out, he did this on Instagram. He ate raw animals, maybe a squirrel. He cut it over. And he'd do it in a famous spot. And it does report here in the article that he has over 3,000 followers on Instagram.
Huh.
Right. So,
wow. Well, you know, I'm all about sushi and some other things.
I'm not. But
them raw pig, I kind of like my pig cooked. You know what I mean? Like that pig.
It says the man cut open the hog's torso, and the woman, the witness here, could see the animal's blood and organs spill onto the sidewalk, she told police, according to the arrest report. Huh. After slicing the animal, he ate some of it and left. Yeah, so that's pretty hard up for listeners there for downloads.
Right.
I don't know if we'll do exactly that, but here's the little boy that figured out how to do it.
We do like to eat.
Yeah, we do like to eat.
And I love wild pigs, and I do eat them.
So, maybe we might do something with wild varmints alive with blood. I don't know, but it sure worked out for him. But I'm thinking this is costing him more than his 3,000 followers are bringing in for him. So I don't know if it's going to be a win-win for the old boy or not.
I tell you, it wouldn't have to cost much to beat how much we're bringing in on our followers. Not for sure.
Well, we are a country podcast, and the people are poor in the country. By the way, it was a 27... It was, you know, that Nick Fuentes, he's in the big city. That's where he gets some super chats, see. But our people don't super chat.
They're not on the chat bot.
But this was a 27-year-old Clewiston man. Now, there's been a lot of good stuff come out of Clewiston through the years. So,
yeah, that's a good area.
27-year-old Clewiston man that done come up with this idea of eating raw animals.
You can find
live streaming.
You can find some real crackers in Clewiston. Still.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
That's good stuff. So, that old boy.
The sugar capital of the world.
Yeah.
So we will probably not eat raw critters on the Palm and Pine podcast, but I don't know. If it might improve our downloads, we're thinking.
Right.
So we're brainstorming. We're brainstorming what we might do to kind of pump up the volume on the thing.
About
y'all.
Three episodes ago, we made some yawpon tea. We drank some local tea we made. So
So he got the downloads on that, eating raw animals. You know, so.
I just don't know about the raw pork. That's the part.
You never know. You never know. So apparently didn't kill him.
Not yet. Yeah. And how long ago was that?
This was in December, so not long ago.
Not long
you
ago.
Know, just
yeah,
recently
yeah.
Wow. he'd done gone down there and was eating a hog at the clock tower.
I heard Mar-a-Lago had a visitor just a few days ago.
Just a few days ago, and they had to shoot the old boy, you know.
And he had a shotgun. Maybe he was hog hunting. Maybe he saw it. He might have saw on Instagram that was the place to go shoot a pig, you know.
Yeah, he saw that Instagram account, like, that Instagram live stream, you know.
Get down there and hog hunt.
So I don't know how he makes money. Does he super chat off of there, or do they tip him?
Right,
do they tip him or say, hey, eat this varmint next?
Maybe they pay him not to eat another varmint, because that's what they do with us. They'd be like, okay, you boys have eaten 17 deer, and it's only February 23rd this year.
Oh, man. So, he's going to kill the wrong varmint one day, and somebody's going to get on him. So, anyway.
All right, well.
Things you read about in the news. So, live hog eating in Palm Beach, Florida.
Well, Doug, I tell you, I've got a story here. I tell you. It's going to take us right back around there to Volusia County.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what's some of the first things that come to your mind when you think of Volusia County?
Daytona Beach area.
Yeah.
Daytona 500.
Daytona 500.
I-95 type of folk that have come down.
There's a big,
couldn't afford to go into Miami.
Big Bucky's there now.
Yeah,
I-95. And the boardwalk.
Yeah, the Daytona Boardwalk. Yeah, there's some high-class folks out there now.
Now, last time you were on the boardwalk, you get that feeling on the boardwalk where you kind of like, man, I better be watching left, right,
just a
up
boy
there.
The other day just got his throat slit.
That's where
around.
I'm going right now with this story.
Well, we were just talking about the fine folks at Daytona on a previous podcast.
The previous podcast.
Yeah, and then that happened like the next week.
The next day. Like the next day. I think that was February 13th.
And I warned y'all, and y'all got that warning on the podcast.
I tell you what. So this boy, 13 years old, got his daggum neck slashed on the boardwalk with his family in the middle of the day.
Oh.
And I tell you that the
That's not funny, the
suspect, 44-year-old Jermaine Long, was, of course, a repeat offender. Now here's the deal. Listen to this now.
Yes.
Not only had he already been arrested upteen times, but that very day that he had gotten the police called on him, he went into a the same day. He'd already gotten the police called twice. One time he'd come into a daggone convenience store with an axe and hit somebody with it. And the officer said that it wasn't enough to arrest him. And that was like a couple of hours before he slashed this other kid's throat. So we need to figure out what is going on with some of these law enforcement officers that you don't think that's enough.
Now, was that Volusia County Sheriff's Department?
I'm not sure if it was Daytona Beach Police who that was that responded, but they had gotten called twice that day already on this joker. Obviously, probably some Lima 1 going on. This guy's just loco.
Lima 1 and 2. They're
probably
going on
1
there.
And 2. And but I tell you what really happened with this, and it's awful, of course, that this happened. But I don't know if you heard about the interviews. Have you heard about that afterwards?
No.
Okay, so this made national news, which is kind of surprising since it was black on white crime.
That's usually not a national issue. They can only cover so many stories.
right. And some cracker getting his throat slashed ain't gonna be one of them, right?
Yeah.
So anyway. National news, and I don't know, I'm not going to say what outlet was, but one of the big three, right? So they basically, you know how they'll call them up on the Zoom chat, and they had the mom and the boy, the 13-year-old boy, right? Now, you got to remember, he's a teenager, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So they're sitting there, and they're being interviewed, and the mom, of course, doing most of the talking, and she's fired up, you know. and
asked them, messed with her baby.
Yeah. And so but they started the interview with the boy, with the 13-year-old son. How'd it go? And he's like, well, you know, I just happened to look the right way, and I barely missed the field. He said, I would have turned. He'd got my jugular. But he's like, you know, no big deal. You know, because again, 13-year-old boy, he has a certain amount of bravado that he's gonna have to do national news.
Right.
Well, immediately they switch over to the mother, and she's like, "Oh, my baby, he's having nightmares, and he wet his bed, and it's just
mom."
And the look on his face, the horror on his face was much worse than when he got his throat slashed. This was way worse than a throat slashing.
Would be traumatic.
To be on TV with your mom and, oh, my baby, oh, he's going to be, he's having nightmares and bad dreams. So this whole thing goes viral because his reaction, he's like, what? Because according to him, no big deal. A throat slashing.
Well, what happened after he cut him? Did dad jump on him and they retained him right there?
You know, I don't know how they brought this guy down.
Did they decide to keep him in now, or they already cut him loose?
He used a box cutter. Uh-huh. Let's see, I'm just kind of looking this thing
so
over.
That's felony attempted murder, I would hope. And you know,
he's been arrested numerous times.
Well, I had the impression, you know, when I lived there and went out there to the boardwalk, that many of the people out there had been arrested numerous times. That was the impression I had of the place.
That's my impression of the whole place. Like anybody working out there at any of them little stands, or anybody hanging out there. You know. It looks like a collection of, criminals, basically.
Yeah, basically. Right. It's too bad.
I'm surprised. I mean, it used to be a nice place.
I'm surprised
families... Are still even going there.
I guess you go to Panama City Beach now. You don't go there. You know, yeah. I guess the I-95 crowd still goes there. Yeah. I don't know what, but it's just too bad what has happened to that area.
Yeah.
It's been that way for a while.
Yeah, it's really, that Volusia County just is crazy. But, old Jermaine, he needs to be in what we used to call the nut house. That's what you got going on there.
When you have a lot of criminals, it's bad either way. If they're on the loose, they're hurting innocent people like this. But
when
you catch them, innocent people have to pay for their upkeep.
Right, right.
You know, it's a lose-lose when you have a lot of criminals in your society, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do? Take them to Sudan and drop them off like that maybe that doesn't cost anybody.
That's
anything,
what has happened when we opened the border. They just shipped all their criminals, ship them up to
us.
Yeah,
when we had a fair amount already, you know. So thanks a lot. Anyway, so it's a lose-lose.
You're right, when you have those
criminals in your society.
Yeah, I tell you what.
That's probably what they're faced with. They probably have so many people at the county jail already, you know, that they can't take another one in, you know. I mean, if it has to be very serious, they're probably telling their officers, it has to be very serious for you to bring them in.
Bring them in here,
You know, we just don't have the space. So hopefully we can find a political solution to the problem.
Well, I tell you what, make sure you cook your pork thoroughly. Dispose of the entrails in a proper place.
Right.
if you're gonna gut out a pig,
I don't know if this old boy went back to it after this or that shut him down. I don't know, but we're brainstorming for ideas to pump up our views.
Any suggestions? We're open. Y'all send them in. Hey, if you're out there walking around, keep your eyes open for a throat slasher. When you need to duck, dive. Make sure you do that.
Avoid the cities. I tell you, certain cities a lot. Remember, you can constitutional carry in Florida.
Right.
So be prepared. So,
all right. So we'll catch y'all next time and keep it Florida. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Palm and Pine Podcast. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. The views and opinions expressed by the host or any guest are our own and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliates. Our opinions are just that, opinions, and are not legal or medical advice. But in our opinion, avoid lawyers and big pharma at all cost. Copyright 2026. Palm and Pine Podcast. All rights reserved. Please subscribe and share. Okay, until next time, keep it Florida, and we'll see you soon.